We're joined now on the line by Kevin Nolan. Can you hear us there, Kevin?
Loud and clear, yeah.
Perfect. So, Kevin, you have got a... you're a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
And you're releasing a new album.
What I'm doing is, in 2014, I released my debut album, Frederick and the Golden Dawn. Mm-hmm. And now, in 2017, I'm releasing a deluxe edition with extra features like commentary and also two extra live tracks.
A deluxe edition. I've never heard of a deluxe edition of an album.
Yeah, it's actually quite... It's catching on these days. A lot of people are doing it.
Yeah. Oh, so you didn't coin the phrase yourself then, it's not...
No. Sure, there's a lot that came before me. I'm just walking on kind of attempting to cook my dinner on their stove. If you know what I mean.
That's better than standing on the shoulder of giants. So they'll cook your shoulder. I like that one better. So tell us a little bit about it. So you released this in 2014.
That's it. Yeah, and it was 10 tracks. The 10th of which is a duet with Galway singer Julie Feeney. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of pretty much unanimously acclaimed across Germany and America, the UK, Ireland as well.
Brilliant.
And did really well with the critics. They really loved it.
Yeah, if you can get the critics on board, that's a good thing. Was it a long time in the making?
It certainly was, to tell you the truth. It was 8 years. 8 years. I started in 2006 with a song called Splinter, and I ended with Obad, the last song, about 2013 or right around there, yeah.
And how did you find the whole process, the whole 8 year process? Was it a gradual thing, or were you, you know, did you have kind of like spurts of doing really well and then forgetting about it for a few years?
No, I'm kind of just slow. I mean, there's one song called The Guess. It took about 3 or 4 years to write because I keep on working on something. I'm a bit obsessive, I suppose. And also slow.
Yeah. No, that's you're a perfectionist. So you decided to do a deluxe version, and so you're also you're doing a call out for other artists to help you remix this work, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah. I'm really trying to kind of give the work as much respect as it gave me, you know. And in doing so, I've put out an open call for any artists or writers or visual artists who want to either remix a song, or they want to remix the lyrics as such, or cut them up or turn them upside down, whatever they feel. And the artwork for the album is also up for grabs for any visual artists to work with. And it's kind of a remix of every element of the album. And I've gotten a huge response. And once it's all collected together, I'll be making a release of those.
So people can actually work on the songs themselves as well.
Yeah, I give them what are called, what are known in the business, the stems.
Yeah,
I give them the stems, and they work from there, and they can go any direction they want. I've got back some beautiful subtle things, and then some more quite poppy things, and then other things that are quite kind of dark dance songs. And I've gotten back a wealth of things. I'm absolutely very humbled by other people that want to work with my work.
Is it not, as a perfectionist though, is it not quite a scary endeavour to let other people kind of pick away at your work and reinvent it for you?
When you spend 8 years in a room with 10 songs, you get to know them quite well, and you kind of and you've looked at them in every possible way possible, so you really have had your way with them, and so you kind of I have no problem at all with other people working with them. I think it's just a kind of a evolution of the way music went. And also, I'm completely comfortable. I really got to know those songs so well, and I think I looked at every album and I feel comfortable, you know.
And is this going to be is this near completion now, or have you got a wee while to go yet with it yet?
There's a guy, Jan Frisch. He's working on Splinter at the moment, one of my songs. And there's another girl, a German girl, Lisa Auka, and she's working on a song too. So I'm kind of giving them time to do the work. But once they've finished it and they're happy with it, they'll send it back to me. And once everybody's finished, you know, the open call is still open to anyone who can email me, you know.
So they can pick any song they want, can they, and work on that? Or is there only a set number of songs now they can pick?
There's only a set number of songs. There's about 7, I think, out of 10. I have it on my website. There's a particular page for the open call.
www.kevinnolan.info?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so if anyone is interested, they can still get in touch and rework some of your work. And how much input do you have into it? Do they literally just go off and do whatever they want to, or do you actually work with them?
Well, if they want me to have input, if they ask me for advice or anything like that, I'm happy to give it. But really, I'd love them to just explore it in their own way, whatever that might be, you know. Mm. They're free to do whatever they want. I've had some people come back and kind of ask me, is this okay, or something like this, but that really isn't
there is no okay,
you know. You can really go anywhere with it, you know.
And I was just reading a little bit about you there. One of your influences is Tom Waits and Stereolab.
Well, they were the root influences for the making of the album. Root.
Yeah. And yeah. Do you feel you've stayed true to that, or are you moving a little bit away now from their influence?
Well, what I'm doing now is I'm working on my second album, and I've got so many songs, and I'm still to get a few more before I've got an album together. Mm. But I'm still kind of I won't give up. I'm still trying to merge Stereolab and Tom Waits in some way, you know. And I think I was successful enough in the first album, but in the second album, I think I've been able to free myself from the rule book of the first album, which is nice to free yourself from any constraints like that. Mm. And I did have some.
Yeah.
And so I'm still kind of trying to get that Stereolab Radiohead idea, or sorry, Stereolab Tom Waits thing.
It'll happen. Just keep another 8 years, it'll be fine.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Or maybe more, who knows, because with this new album, it's going to be a long album.
Oh, okay.
Much longer than 10 songs, yeah. But I'm working faster. I'm working with a lot of people on the new album. I don't know if you know Vivian Long or Mick Pyro, from the Republic of Loose. He's after playing an amazing guitar piece on one of my songs. So I'm working with people now. So that makes the pace of the album a bit quicker.
You find that easier, do you, working with people, having that collaborative process, or is it?
Well, it's different. With my first album, I did everything myself. I played all the instruments, sang all the vocals, and produced it myself. Mm. So, you know, when I have these other people, and they're really great at what they do, coming in on the songs, it makes them go quicker. It's nice. It's lovely to work with other people, and I really admire these people. I picked them really out of my own interest in them. I think they're brilliant, you know. Mm.
Yeah. And you produced an EP called Here's a Piece of Ivan's Head.
That was the first release. Yeah. That was, I think, 2010. And it has an early version of Splinter on it. And it also has Blood Wedding and The Guess. And that was the first thing I ever released. And I was kind of like, just to let everybody know what I was up to. Because, you know, I was making the album and, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose if it's taken that length of time, you want to kind of keep people interested. And how did
you because we were playing live a lot, you know.
Yeah. Also, you play with other people as well.
Yeah, I suppose I'm a solo act, but I work with some great musicians when I'm trying to conjure it up on stage, you know. Mm.
And how did you find when that EP went live, when it got released?
Well, it sort of, people didn't really understand it. It's funny, I don't think people really understood until I released the album what I was doing, you know. But it was played on RT Radio, and Julie Feeney, that's where I met Julie Feeney. She really understood where I was coming from. And she became a great kind of musical confidant over the 8 years, you know. Mm. And she was great. She was invaluable. But she was one of the few people to really kind of notice that I was doing something interesting or half interesting. But by the time the album came out, it was much more like people were extremely kind in their reviews of it, you know. And well, I suppose it's kind is the word, I'm not sure, but there were good reviews.
Yeah.
But for the EP, people just like, what's this guy doing? I remember one guy reviewed one of the EPs and said, too weird for the critical light of day, is what he said.
And they're the ones that stay with you, so don't mind those reviews. You know,
yeah.
But that's the thing, when you go off track a little bit, it's kind of, you can, there is that kind of that fear of, will people get it or will they not get it? And at least, you know, you finally, when it did actually release, you could feel that people were getting it.
Well, I definitely felt that, yeah. I was pretty amazed, to tell you the truth. But it was really nice to be kind of understood in that way, you know.
Yeah. Because when you started off, your music was quite light and quite fluffy, and then it got a little bit kind of deeper and darker.
Well, yeah, when I've been playing music my whole life, and I wrote songs all the time through my early 20s and my teens, they were much lighter, yeah, much kind of lighter, sort of, and then they turned dark, you know.
And do you prefer that kind of more retrospective, that more kind of that deeper kind of music, or would you still go back to the lighter?
Well, I don't know. I was just where I was at, you know, at the time. I mean, some of the songs that are on this new album, the ideas that are being put into them would have been written when I was about in my teens or 20s. So they're much kind of, it's a lighter album, I think. I think it's a lighter album. I think I did the darkness really, I really royally did it. But funnily enough, I found that there became, in the kind of taste buds of the time, a liking for dark music just when I was finishing my album. So that was kind of nice that the way popular music is turning these days, I kind of fit in a bit more, whereas when I was doing it in 2006 and 2007, it was a very much a no-no. People were very puzzled at what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how that can go in kind of phases and fashions, even though you think that it could be something that everyone would relate to at some point.
No, I was kind of happy, but I suppose the craters will move and there'll be a few more revolutions of the earth before again, and the taste buds will change. But I suppose I think that the work itself,
you'll revolve with it, though, I think.
Oh, very much so, you know.
And what would you find were the major challenges for you on the second album?
On the second album, challenges. I suppose you're given challenges and you have to find your way around them. I mean, for instance, I'm recording it. I was the artist in residency for a while, and I had the wealth of Ballymun Access studios.
Oh, brilliant.
But now I'm recording in my home studio.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That could be seen as a kind of a problematic situation in that you can't do really anything you want. But it's funny, when these constraints come, lots of beautiful things happen within the constraints. They almost kind of help you in a way.
Yeah. Well, it's a lovely way to look at it. You know, it's a very positive way of looking at it. Constraints. Well, that is fantastic. So so people can still get in touch with you if they would like to be involved, and there's a few songs that they can still meddle with.
For sure, or lyrics, or the artwork. You can find all the information on my website.
www.kevinnolan.info.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. And then your album, so you don't actually know when it's going to, when the deluxe version is going to be re-released?
Oh, no, it is. It's released on, the deluxe edition is released on the 1st of July. That's a
first
Saturday.
Of July.
Coming up pretty soon.
Perfect. Are you having a launch party?
Not at this stage. At the moment, it's just going to be internet release.
Yeah. The old-fashioned,
like,
way.
You'll catch it on Spotify and really everywhere on the internet. Like, you name it, Napster, Amazon. It'll be all of them.
Perfect. And what's it called again? Sorry, Kevin.
It's called Frederick and the Golden Dawn Deluxe Edition.
Perfect, perfect. And people can get that in all the usual places. And if you want to be involved in remixing it, go to www.kevinnolan.info. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with everything, Kevin. I hope it goes really well for you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
No problem at all. Take care. All the best.
Bye.